Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Happy Halloween, babe faces. This is a late podcast, so we'll just be talking off the cuff. And you know what? I kind of dropped the ball this week. A lot of things happened and have been happening that I will fill you in on that got me off track, messed up my motivation, messed up my planning. Not the best. I have been thinking, and I just want to tell you now, just in case it does end up happening, I don't know yet, but I have been thinking about doing a sabbatical for my podcast, just like I did last year. Just take a couple of weeks off, regroup, plan out where I want the podcast to go, what kinds of guests I want to have on, just for a little while. I do really enjoy having guests on and having this podcast and having interesting conversations with interesting people. It has been so much fun to meet new people and learn about people. And it's just been incredible for my personal growth and my confidence. If you're somebody who's been here since the beginning, or if you're someone who's been binge listening, you know that I've come a long way in my interviewing skills and my conversations. They're much more laid back. I'm much more able to have a conversation with somebody that I've never met before in a way that feels, at least to me, like I'm an old friend with someone that I'm just meeting for the first time. And sometimes it's someone that I'm meeting for the first time face to face, but we've talked on Instagram a lot, or it's someone that I'm like really meeting for the first time that I've just been like talked to on Instagram one or two times about if they wanted to be on my podcast. So I do genuinely love the podcast, and I hope you guys are loving it too. But I'm just thinking about taking a little break. Again, not sure if it's going to happen, but just to get caught up, figure out what guests I want to have on, throw in a couple of interviews, get them lined up so I can really just get ahead of the podcast instead of just throwing together conversations last minute, which are also good too, because then it's just like we're talking to each other. And also because I'm going to be in Chicago for 2 weeks over Christmas, and I'm not sure what podcasting will look like while I'm with my in-laws. Not that it would be a problem, but I just don't want to put that pressure on myself. But that's just your first announcement to look out for. I wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about today. I asked you guys on my Instagram stories if any of you would be interested in a more educational podcast. That was never the vibe for me. The podcasts I listen to and that I've always been drawn to, I've been listening to podcasts since 2017 with Rachel Braithen was my first. All of the podcasts that I've listened to and enjoyed have been just conversational podcasts, either individuals talking about their lives, kind of diary style, and then friends, maybe two people that are friends talking and having a conversation, or just like an interview style with guests. And I know that sometimes people really enjoy educational podcasts where they're learning stuff. My friend Wendy has an educational podcast where she interviews people or straight up educates on toxins and what they mean and how to spot them and how to avoid them and what they do to your body. And I think that's interesting too. So I threw it out there. A good amount of you were interested. So I was like, well, I just launched a sleep ebook yesterday for free. You can go on my Instagram. I have a reel. You can comment sleep and get the free ebook. I could talk about sleep and I could do a deep dive, but I was like, oh, I kind of have to plan that out a little more and take some notes and do a little bit more research. And that's just not, that's something that I might do in the future, but that's just not my style, especially on a day when I'm kind of procrastinating. So we'll keep that in the back pocket for a future date. But then I realized this is a good thing. I realized I haven't talked to you guys about this deep depression that I was in that was caused directly by the RN at my doctor's office. So we'll get to that in a little bit. I talked to people extensively about it on Instagram, but I want to talk about it here in case you don't follow me on Instagram, or you do but didn't catch it, or you do but just want to hear me talk about it again because it was ridiculous and want to have a righteous rage with me. But before I get into that, I'm just going to start with some things that I'm doing and enjoying, which is really not many things, not in a sad way, but I want to talk about pop culture and what I'm doing. So I started watching Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which was long awaited because if you pay close attention to me, if you've been following me for a while, if you watch my Instagram stories, you know, and if you don't know, you're about to know, I love Mormons. I don't know. I know why. I started in high school. There was one girl, one family in my school that was Mormon. And it was very interesting because I lived in a city that was very predominantly Jewish. And so, and or like a little bit Christian too, like I'm Christian. And it wasn't a weird thing, but it was very predominantly Jewish. And Mormon, what an interesting religion. And so she was just, the girl that was in my grade was just interesting because of that. But also, they were like the picture perfect family. Like all the girls were beautiful blondes and blue eyes, very athletic. The one that was in my grade, she was just gorgeous and like nice and cheerleading captain and like student body president and like prom queen and got like straight A's and was dating the principal's son. If you're listening to my podcast and you went to high school with me, first of all, leave. This is for strangers. Second of all, you also know who she is. And she was in like all AP classes. And she went to the military. She was in ROTC. She was like huge in that. And she went to like USC. And just this whole family was like perfect. And they were beautiful and they Sabbathed on Sundays. And I remember I did a group project with her and I had to go to her house. And her mom was like a stay-at-home mom and making cookies. And she just couldn't leave her house that day. It was like a family day. So we went over to do the group project in her living room. Anyway, I was like, wow, this is fascinating. I revisited Mormons my freshman year of college when I feel like Instagram influencers started to be a thing around then. It was around 2013. And I would get these pop-ups or suggestions. I don't know if there even was an Explore page then, but would find these girls that were beautiful, young, and often very young and married, very young moms, and had the most beautifully curated Instagrams, most beautiful homes, great hair, great skin, great makeup, great outfits, had kids that were beautiful, husbands that were handsome and had some kind of like quick, snappy name like Tad or Preston. And I got into not a habit, but it became my thing, just like a little game I would play with myself where if one of these girls that was just beautiful and had a beautiful family popped up on my Instagram, I'd be able to tell if they were Mormon. I'd be like, I think she's a Mormon, because most of them were. So I started learning about Mormon culture through all of these Instagram accounts and how they dressed and what they did and what like some telltale signs were. And so I'd scroll through these girls' Instagrams, and I'd first start, I'd be like, I think she's Mormon. And there would be no reason for me to think this. Like, they didn't state that they lived in Utah in their bio, which doesn't mean that Mormons only live in Utah, but, like, you know what I mean? That's an obvious sign. Didn't say LDS in their bio. There, like, were no clues except how they looked. And I would scroll through and I'd be like, yes or no. And I'd scroll through, and sure enough, I'd end up on a picture of a wedding in front of the LDS church and be like, knew it. So I've loved Mormons for a long time. Therefore, that's the origin. Therefore, when Secret Lives of Mormon Wives came out, I was like, oh my God, I've got to watch this, knowing full well that it was absolutely not representative of Mormon culture or really of the faith, but also just out of curiosity because I love Mormons, I love Mormon women, and I followed Taylor Frankie Paul and Jen Affleck before all of this stuff blew up on Mom Talk. And I had purposely been waiting to watch it. I didn't watch it as soon as it came out because I was like, I'm going to want to binge watch this. And I want to wait until I can set aside a time on a weekend where I can just sit and rot on the couch and watch this all the way through. So last weekend, I was like, you know what? Today's the day. I think it might have been like last Thursday or last Friday. Watched the first episode, took a lot of notes, had a lot of commentary, made Robbie watch it. So I watched it two times. Started watching the second episode, got about three quarters of the way through, had to stop because Hawthorne just needed my attention. And then I never went back to it. And I'm kind of sad. And I've been thinking about it a lot. Not that I want to even go back and watch it, but I'm like, why am I not so absolutely down for this? Like, I see everybody's commentary on social media. I love Mormons. This is like the perfect thing for me. And I think it just goes back to the fact that I don't really like watching TV. And it's a little odd because I know a lot of people do. And my mom certainly does. She learned English from watching TV. And I grew up watching TV on the weekends with her. But I just don't like watching TV. I like reading books. I like listening to podcasts. I like going on walks. And I like doing chores. And it's not just that I don't like watching TV, but I actually don't really like watching reality TV. And I don't know why. There are shows that I love. Like, I do enjoy watching TV while I eat food. So every night while I'm eating dinner, we watch New Girl or Schitt's Creek. Enjoy that sound in the background sometimes. I religiously watched Outlander, Queen's Gambit. Like, quarantine had such bangers. Not that Outlander was during quarantine, but I just don't know. It takes Southern Charm. Loved that for like the first five seasons. I don't know what has happened to me or what happens, because there are some shows that I'll get really into. But anyway, probably boring you. Well, I hope I'm providing your background noise while you're driving or while you're doing chores. But I haven't gone back to Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and I don't know if I will. But I think it's just a combination of not liking TV and not really liking reality TV, because I just watch it, and I think I just listen to enough people who have been on reality TV and have explained how it is edited often to make people look a certain way. And I just watch these conversations and I'm like, it's just so fake. And I know that it's fake. Like, we all know reality TV is so fake when we're walking into it. But it just really grinds my gears, some of these conversations that I'm listening to. So in pop culture, I'm not watching Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. What I am doing is binge listening to Giggly Squad with Paige DeSorbo and Hannah Berner. I was first introduced to Hannah Berner when she was on Call Her Daddy with Alex Cooper. And I thought her humor was delightful. And I had watched a section of one of her stand-up shows. It showed up on my feed and it was just hilarious. And I did another deep dive on her because I hadn't thought about her in a while, and I saw that she had a podcast. So I'm just listening from the beginning, like three episodes a day. It's delightful. I'm enjoying it. if you haven't listened to the podcast, it's her and Paige, best friends, just like literally shooting the shit, having a conversation. It's not edited. It's them talking for an hour. A lot of it is pop culture related and pop culture talk. So I'm in the middle of 2021, so it's all old stuff, but I don't even care. I'm someone that wants to know the origins of a relationship before I dive into a podcast. I want to know their relationship. I want to be able to understand the origins of catchphrases and inside jokes that you would only understand if you were there when they were conceived during the show. You know what I mean? So I'm in the middle of that, and I am reading Outlander. When people ask me what kinds of books I like, it's really hard to describe, but I can tell you books that I don't like very aggressively. And the number one books I don't like are smut and or romance. Like, they are tied for number one. And I love Outlander because I watched the show. I love Outlander. I was invested in the show. And everyone said Outlander and Game of Thrones are books that, like, people who hate reading will just binge read. Robbie hates reading. He has read one book since we've gotten married. I've read well over 200. And it was a mystery book that I recommended to him. And that's the only book he's ever read since I've known him. He read through a significant amount of Game of Thrones, which are like 500-600 page books. And Outlander, very similar to that. Lots of people who never read just binge read those books. And so I'm like, well, I mean, if people that hate reading read these books, I'll be able to enjoy it. And I do. I do enjoy it. I enjoy the action. And it is hard to put down. I've been staying up for like an hour to an hour and a half before bed reading it. But I have not yet decided if I'm going to get the second book. I'm about 75 to 80% done with the first one. And the problem is there are just so many. I just hate books with smut or sex or romance because I think it's always so cringy, overdone, unrealistic. They have so much sex. And now that I'm in the second half of the book, there's not as much sex. But it's like, come on. Can we just, it's superfluous. And it's all kinds of sex. Robbie and I would make fun of this when we watch the show. It's like, we just got married sex. In love sex, scared sex, we almost just died sex, I just opened my heart up to you sex, you almost just went back to the future sex. I don't want it. It's too much. So I don't know if I'm going to read the second book because for the first book, for a lot of it, I've been like, I like the plot line. I don't like all the sex. It's so annoying. I might just read a palate cleanser in between and get back because I hate not finishing series and I don't read a lot of series. So that's where I'm at with Outlander. I did reach my book goal, though. I am officially at 30 books read this year and we've still got a couple months to go. My most read books in a year is 38. That was the year I gave birth to Hawthorne. And I had a lot of time to read because I was pregnant all summer with nothing to do. And it was super hot outside and I had no energy for anything. And I was breastfeeding him overnight every 2 hours. And to keep myself awake, I would read on my Kindle. So there's plenty of time to read then. Anyway, let me fill you in on my mental health and the misfortune I had between me and the nurse at my doctor's office. Now, I love the doctor that I go to. It's a family doctor. Robbie and I both see the same person. They check us both. This office has a lot of similar values to me. It's a very holistic, unusual, like, it's hard to find doctors like this. But I mean, you guys know me. I'm very holistic, but I also love my drugs and they prescribe me my drugs. So we're good. Just so we're clear. The first appointment I went to, there were like four new moms in there who had all just had home births, either assisted home births or free births, within the last week and a half. So I'm like, these are my people. This is my place. Love the doctor. Very laid back. Very, yeah, just like prolonged breastfeeding. I just love them. I didn't know that the nurse was a bitch canoe, until after I shared this experience on social media. And someone who lives in my area was like, I also see that doctor. And my friend also sees that doctor. And we always talk about what a bitch the nurse is. So here's what happened. I had gotten my antidepressant prescription. Okay, I'm making it seem like I've seen this doctor for years. I saw her for the first time in April or May. So I had stopped seeing my APRN in like April. And I had just gotten a refill of my antidepressants and for 3 months. And then I saw my new doctor like 2 weeks later and found out that they prescribe medication. So I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'll totally get it from you. So I got a prescription from them and I had just had a 90 count of my antidepressants. Now, I know that if I go 3 days without my antidepressants, I'm fucked. It's like a steep cliff immediately. On day three, like my mental health tanks and it is visible. My thoughts, a complete 180. Hate myself, feeling shame, overthinking everything, wondering why people hang out with me. I'm a horrible mom. I'm a horrible wife. I'm a burden on everyone around me. Like very awful thoughts, very bad anxiety. Wake up, no hope, no motivation, ready for the day to be over. Going to bed early, starting my nighttime routine early so that I can just get to the next day and spend as much time asleep as possible. So I know, and I'm very careful to never go 3 days without my antidepressants. But do I miss a day or two every so often? Hell yeah, I do. Which is why this 90 count of prescriptions of antidepressants lasted so long. That's going to be important information for later. So I go see this new doctor, find out that they prescribe medication. They give me my Klonopin and my Zoloft. And things are great. Except last week, I realized I was down to my last 9 antidepressants. We cannot have that happening. And I have enough time to call in my prescription and have it filled and have some overlap. So I'm not going to be without antidepressants for a few days. I call CVS and I give them my prescription number. And they say, we need to contact your doctor. We'll get back to you. We need them to send a prescription. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I didn't remember if this prescription was from my old doctor or my new one. I didn't even think to, it was the sticker on it was so worn, I couldn't even read anything. So they say they're going to call my doctor for confirmation. Fine, no problem. We have 9 days. I didn't hear anything. I didn't get any text. So I just decided to call my doctor, maybe give them a boost. I know doctors' offices are busy. I know pharmacies are busy. Sometimes things get missed. So I'm trying to call them to let them know, hey, I need you to refill my antidepressants. I get on the phone with this RN and I say, hello, I am running low on my antidepressants and I called CVS. They said that they needed to contact you. So I just wanted to make sure that I was able to get my antidepressants refilled. No problem. She looks me up in the system and she says, it looks like we gave you 290. Oh, she said this. Looks like you have an appointment coming up in November. And I was like, oh, okay, totally cool. But I only have like 9 antidepressants left. So if you could call in my refill, that would be great. My appointment's November 18th. She said, well, it looks like we gave you a prescription. Hold on, let me do some math. So she's like, it looks like we gave you a prescription in May for 2 refills of 90 pills. So I kid you not, this is what she did. So if we have May, and that's when you get your prescription, you're taking them May, June, and July, and then you get your second refill, and that's August, September, October, or maybe whatever. It mathed out to my next appointment, which was November. And she added, at the end of doing math on the phone with me like I'm an idiot, she said, if you're taking them once a day as prescribed. And I'm like, is this bitch trying to accuse me of taking multiple antidepressants a day as if I'm like trying to get high off of my SSRIs? What? And so I say, okay, I believe you, but I have been taking one a day. In fact, I have been rationing them out because I sometimes skip days to make them last longer. And I don't have any antidepressants and I need them because that's not going to be okay. And again, she does the math with me. On this phone call, there were a total of 3 times where she counted out, well, we gave you this prescription on this date, and counted out the months for my 90-day refills. And I'm starting to get annoyed because, one, I'm like feeling gaslit because I know that I don't have any antidepressants. I know that I called the pharmacy and they said they needed to contact my doctor. And I know what happens when I get really bad mentally. And while I've never, I have hurt myself before. I have gotten to a place twice that were so dark that I have not at all tried to end my life, but have been in a place of just like self-punishment because I loathe myself so much. Maybe I should have put a trigger warning. Maybe not. I don't know. So 3 times she does this math with me and I feel gaslit because I'm like, I don't have antidepressants. I don't remember. If I refilled these twice, like I know that I would have these pills. And I'm starting, and she's also making me feel like I'm stupid for not being able to do math. She's counting it with me. And I also feel incredibly disrespected because she's subtly accusing me of going through 6 months of antidepressants in like not 6 months. So I start to get annoyed and I'm like, again, okay, I believe you. However, CVS says you need to call them. I don't have any antidepressants. I can't make them last until November 18th, and I'm not going to be mentally okay. So can you call them in or call CVS so we can figure this out? I even confirmed the CVS location in the event that I like picked them up at another location and it was my bad. And she finally said, we can call you in another prescription, but insurance isn't going to cover it. And I was like, fine, I will pay what I need to. I need my antidepressants. And I ended up saying thank you, goodbye, and hung up on her because I didn't have the balls to actually just hang up on her because it takes a lot for me to get there. So I don't have insurance anyway. We have a health share plan. So I'm like, whatever, I'll just self-pay. And if it's more than usual, it's more than usual. Go to pick them up. Get it. I call CVS. Okay, wait. I called CVS again and said, and was with the robot, the CVS robot, put in my prescription number. And again, they said, we need to contact your doctor. So I wait and I see what happens. And they said they're going to call me in a prescription. So I'll wait for the text message that says it's ready to be picked up. Later that day, I get a text message that says it's ready to be picked up. Awesome. Thank God. I'm going to get my antidepressants. I'm not going to go without it for any amount of days. We're going to be good. Go to pick up the prescription. It's $100. And while I expected it to be more expensive than usual, usually when you're self-pay, it's much cheaper. And I use GoodRx, which is a coupon like app company that makes prescriptions more affordable. But I could not afford $100 for antidepressants. They said it wasn't covered by GoodRx, which is what I usually use. So I drive away and I'm at the stop sign and I call Robbie and I said, hey, the antidepressants are $100. I know we can't afford that. So I have about 9 left. My next appointment is November 18th. So I can take one every other day and try to ration them out, which will bring me to like November 9th. And then I'll have 9 days without it. And those 9 days are going to be really hard mentally. But if that's what we have to do, like we can prepare and do the best that we can to make it through those 9 days. He's like, all right, cool. We'll make sure you're eating well. We'll make sure you're getting outside and going on walks. We'll do what we need to do. So I go home. I'm splitting up my pills. And I had already been rationing out my pills just in case. And like within the next 48 hours, I was fucked, totally fucked. As always, as I always am, I was ruminating. I was hating myself. I was isolating, wasn't talking to people, just crying about how worthless I am, how much of a burden I am on people. Nobody actually likes me. I'm not funny. People don't like being around me. Just over and over. I could come up with anything to convince myself of how worthless I was. And I was just white knuckling it, to be honest, because I knew that I had to. And I was at the coffee shop one day, and I had been talking about this on my stories. And my friend Jeanette, who has been on this podcast twice, was texting me about it. And she says, what's the prescription name? What's the dosage? What city or is your, what's it called? Pharmacy located in? Like, what are you? A doctor? Are you going to prescribe it to me? Then I thought, well, my friend Ashley's a doctor. I wonder if she could call one in for me. And she sent me a GoodRx coupon for $27, which would make the prescription $27. And I'm like, that's so kind of you. I'm so grateful for you putting it into your app. They told me it wouldn't be taken by GoodRx because I usually use it. But I wonder if, because it was done from your phone, if they'll take it. It's worth a shot. So that day after the coffee shop of doing work, I go to CVS. I tell Robbie, crossing my fingers. And Robbie says, if it doesn't work, just pay the $100. That's how bad it was. And it worked. I got my antidepressants. It was $27. It was incredible. I was so grateful. Obviously, it took me a couple of days of taking it to get back to my mental state that I needed to be in, my baseline. But I'm here and I got there. And I'm sharing this whole journey on social media. And so many people, specifically people in the healthcare field or people who are current or former nurses, were incredibly angry at my behalf with the way that I was treated because, and I didn't think about it this way necessarily, but they brought up a good point. Like, it is very dangerous for you to be in that situation where you don't have your antidepressants because there are people that obviously could hurt themselves. Like, aside from the fact of how poorly you were treated, gaslit, disrespected, that could have been a very dangerous situation and that should have never have happened. That nurse should have done her due diligence and should have been able to see if those prescriptions were even filled and should have at least called the pharmacy on your behalf to figure out what was going on. And someone recommended, why don't you go to the pharmacy and have them pull a report of the prescriptions that you had filled over the last year? So you at least have concrete evidence to show the doctor to file a complaint. Multiple people told me to file a complaint. So I'm like, good idea. I will do that. And I start gaslighting myself now. Like, I'm scared to go to CVS because I'm like, what if they print out a report and I did fill these two prescriptions and I like lost them or took them, or maybe I did take way too many and I'm getting in my head about it. So I get this printout and I take it to my car and I analyze it. And I never filled those two prescriptions that were prescribed to me from the new doctor. I have been using and rationing out my antidepressants that I received in April from my previous doctor. And I had probably like had leftovers from the previous month that I definitely combined. So they lasted me a lot longer. I never filled those two prescriptions from my new doctor. And therefore, I had been calling CVS with an old prescription number that they did need to contact my doctor for, but the doctor they were calling, I was no longer a patient with. And it was like, it was just a mishap. It was an error. I was calling in the wrong number. CVS said that they didn't have a prescription under my name. And all it would have taken was this nurse at my new doctor's office calling CVS on my behalf, as I asked her to do. Hey, CVS says that they need to talk to my doctor about my antidepressants and I need them. Can you call? All she needed to do is call. And if she would have called from the doctor's office with my name and my birth date, she would have found that I didn't fill those prescriptions and could have called me back and said, hey, silly goose, you never filled these two prescriptions. You were calling in for a different prescription number. I called CVS and they're filling that now for you. Enjoy. And I could have gotten my prescription for an affordable rate. And I could have completely foregone the week I spent in mental turmoil. And I have a lot of people on my side that are angry for me. I'm still in a place of kind of shock and shame and confusion. And I'm sure I'll get to a place of anger, but I have these documents. And at my next appointment, I'm going to file a complaint with my doctor in person, because I don't want to, like, God forbid I send an email and it gets into the nurse's hands and it becomes a thing. I don't even know who the nurse's name is. God forbid I call and it is the nurse. I don't know where to file this complaint, but I'm going to tell them in person because, as I said previously, that could have been really bad. And all it needed to take was a simple phone call from the nurse. So that's how my last week has been. I am much better now. I love my antidepressants. And, you know, sometimes I think to myself, I am a very naturally minded person, holistic person. And in all honesty, I don't want to be a slave to medication for the rest of my life. I don't want, like, pharmacies and doctors involved in my prescriptions just because things like this happen. I don't want to deal with, like, the bureaucracy of medicine and make sure that I'm always seeing the doctor to get this filled and getting these evaluations done and making sure that I'm calling CVS. It's just a pain. It would be much easier in life if I didn't have to take medications and I could just bop around. But it is times like this when I realize, you know what, it's worth it. I am such a different person without my antidepressants, and I just can't live a joyful life without them. And I don't want to live without them. I went my whole pregnancy with Hawthorne. I don't know why I was being so, like, self-righteous, but I was like, I'm going to have this pregnancy without medication. And I was miserable the whole time. There was no point where I, like, adapted, like when I, like, went off of antidepressants and my brain chemistry, like, recalibrated into a normal baseline. Like, I was very, very unwell for my entire pregnancy. And I finally got on antidepressants a couple of weeks before I gave birth because I knew that I would need them for postpartum to mitigate the risk of postpartum depression, anxiety, all of the hormonal changes that happen. So I will be on likely antidepressants for the rest of my life, unless I have some kind of crazy, wild, awesome plant medicine journey where my brain fixes itself. I will likely be on antidepressants for the rest of my life, and that is completely worth it. And I will be talking to that doctor. I will be advocating for myself. Nobody should have to live with thoughts that I had and white knuckle it. Nobody should have to feel gaslit by their doctor. And I am sad for myself that I had to be in a position where I felt powerless and had to go through that. So that was my week. And today is Halloween. We are taking Hawthorne to our friend Ashley's. All of our friends are getting together and all dozens of the kids. I think it's just like 11 or 12. We're going to go trick-or-treating for like 30 minutes. Do you guys give your little ones candy? Like, I don't know how much candy to give Hawthorne. Should I, like, give him a basket? Or should I just like grab some candy for him and give him a little? I don't know.
Well, he's dressing up as a golfer. I'm a cart girl. Robbie doesn't ever dress up for Halloween, but he's in his golf era, so he'll just dress like a golfer too. And we're going to bring food, and the kids are going to paint pumpkins after our 30 minutes of trick-or-treating, and it will be delightful. We have a good November coming up, a couple of Friendsgivings, and then I'll be in Chicago for half of December. Well, the end of December and early January. So we've got mostly a low-key staying at home next few months. After all of the traveling of this year, you guys know how that affected me. And I'm genuinely looking forward to this. I feel good. I'm in a good space, and I hope you are too. And if you are someone who is on medication, you be proud of that. It makes you better. If you are someone who's on medication that doesn't help you and doesn't make you feel better, I hope you go in and advocate for yourself with your doctor. If you are someone who chooses not to be on medication, I hope you have found, or I hope you do find, some natural things that you can do every day that make you feel the way that you deserve to feel. And remember, there's no one size fits all. Stop putting people in boxes. We can love natural medicine and allopathic medicine. We can love plants, and we can love the chemicals that I take in pill form every day to make me a happy, joyful person that is named Susie. Woo-woo bestie Susie. Okay? I hope you guys have the best day ever. I hope you are heading into a wonderful weekend. Happy November as you are listening to this. I hope all of your fall dreams come true, and that lots of Gilmore Girls, lots of butternut squash soup, and lots of Harry Potter are in your future. I love you. Goodbye. Until next week.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the Woo Woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.